Hello, this is Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 2 for Thursday, November 20th, 2025. We'll begin with some obituaries. Edward Donald Don McKay III, 76, of Champaign, died at 12:22 p.m. Monday, November 17th, surrounded by his three children. Memorial contributions may be made to the First Presbyterian Church of Champaign, where he was a decades-long member and volunteer. Don will be buried in a private ceremony at Mount Hope Cemetery, followed by a memorial service at First Presbyterian Church of Champaign, 302 West Church Street, at 1 p.m. November 24th. Friends may greet the family immediately following the service in Westminster Hall for refreshments. Guests are invited to wear plaid to the service in celebration of Don's Scottish heritage. Jeffrey Allen Ross, 77, of Champaign, died Monday, November 17th at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. December the 4th at Stone Creek Church, 2502 South Ray Street, Urbana, with a celebration of life service to follow at 4 p.m. And now we have some sports. There's a photograph on the front page of the sports section with the caption, Illinois guard Kylan Boswell drives against Alabama guard Aiden Holloway on Wednesday night in a non-conference men's basketball game at the United Center in Chicago. Boswell finished with 22 points, including 20 in the second half, but the 8th-ranked Illini came up short in a 90-86 loss to the 11th-ranked Crimson Tide. Game story: Illinois offense falters as Brad Underwood and company stumble in major opportunity in top 25 showdown. 4 games averaging nearly 98 points with some impressive efficiency metrics to start the 25-26 season didn't save Illinois from a hard fall at the end of the quarter Wednesday night at the United Center. The Illinois offense ground to an absolute halt in the second half against Alabama. The Illini were equal opportunity clankers, too. Layups and mid-range jump shots and three-pointers failed to fall in equal measure, with the first and last of those the biggest issue. Illinois made just 14 of 23 layups and 11 of 32 three-pointers fall, and the biggest issue connected on just 13 of 22 free throws. Disaster for an offense built on making at least 2 of those in significant numbers. All 3 on a good night. Wednesday was not a particularly good night. Compounding the issue was Alabama, which thrives on a similar offense, got those shots to fall in greater numbers, particularly the layups. The Crimson Tide shot 65% at the rim, 36% beyond the arc, with 2 more makes than Illinois, and made 74% of their free throws to leave Chicago with a 90-86 victory. Andre Stojovic mounted a one-man comeback in the latter part of the second half, boosting Illinois' layup numbers in the process. The 6'7" junior guard scored 12 straight points for the Illini and cut their deficit to 3 points with 5 minutes 22 seconds to play. But Alabama kept scoring, and in bigger chunks. Aiden Sherrill, Latrell Wrightsell Jr., and LeBaron Fion all made 3-pointers during Stojovic's solo act to keep the Crimson Tide on top. Kylan Boswell got in on the comeback attempt in the final minutes of the half, with Alabama's lead fluctuating between 8 and 2 points, but he and Stojovic alone couldn't propel Illinois past the Crimson Tide. Stojovic scored 14 of his game-high 26 points in the last final 20 minutes, and Boswell held 20 of his 22 points in the second half. The rest of the Illini scored 10 points after halftime. Phelan provided the answer to Stojovic and Boswell. The Alabama sophomore guard scored 19 of his team-high 24 points in the second half, with 9 of those coming in the final 2.5 minutes. Taylor Bowen added 12 points for the Crimson Tide. Aiden Holloway had 11 points. Keaton Bristol and Houston Mallett chipped in 10 points apiece, and Amari Allen finished with 9 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists off the bench. Ben Hamrickhouse and David Mirkovich were the other Illinois player in double figures. Hamrickhouse had 11 points, while Mirkovich posted his fourth double-double in 5 games with 10 points and 10 rebounds to go with 4 assists. What happened? Illinois fell flat in its return to the United Center for the program's first regular season game in Chicago since 2018. Fans showed up for a top 25 showdown between the 8th-ranked Illini and number 11 Alabama, part of the reason the annual game in the Windy City was abandoned for 7 years. But the overwhelmingly orange and blue-clad crowd of 17,775 fans went home disappointed. The Crimson Tide swept the 2-year neutral site series with a 90-86 victory. What it means, scheduling 4 high-profile games in the first 5 weeks of the season was Illinois coach Brad Underwood's attempt to challenge his team, to figure out if the Illini could rise to the occasion against another one of the top teams in the country. It's obviously been a little hit or miss. Illinois turned home court advantage into a win against Texas Tech last week in Champaign, but couldn't do the same on a not really neutral court in Chicago. At least there's 2 more chances. What's next? A Saturday afternoon matchup with Long Island at State Farm Center as the lead-in to Illinois football that night against Wisconsin in Madison, Wisconsin. The Sharks have won 3 straight games, beating IU Indy, Air Force, and James Madison after dropping their season opener by 22 points at Notre Dame, and play at Fordham on Thursday night. The number 8 Illini are considerably better than all 5 of those teams and are projected as roughly 30-point favorites. And we have Bob Asmussen's column, Keeping Close Tabs On. ALAH graduate Fagan will have an eye on Knights in state semifinal game as an Illini play at Wisconsin on Saturday night. Of course, Caden Fagan's attention on Saturday night will be totally focused on Big Ten opponent Wisconsin. Fagan and the rest of the Illinois football team plays the Badgers at Camp Randall Stadium with kickoff set for 6:30 p.m. But earlier in the afternoon, the Illinois running back might sneak a peek at what's happening at his alma mater, Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond. The undefeated Knights, fresh off a critical Class 2A state quarterfinal road win against Westville last Saturday, host a 2A semifinal game against Maroa Forsyth with a spot on the state's title game on the line. Kickoff is at 2 p.m. at Wilson Field in Arthur, and the game should be over long before the opening whistle blows in Madison, Wisconsin. A week ago, after Illinois finished off Maryland 24-6 at home, Fagan wanted to know how Coach Ryan Jefferson's Knights fared against the Tigers. "It's great," Fagan said. "After the game, I came right into the locker room looking at what happened, and I saw they won. It was really exciting for the town. Coach Jefferson and the team, it's really cool to see that." ALAH has been dominant this season with only 2 games decided by single digits. During Illinois' second open week of the season, Fagan was able to return home for the Knights' second-round playoff game against Cumberland. It was a happy trip for Fagan as ALAH advanced with a 41-22 victory. "It's definitely cool going back, seeing all the kids and my old teachers," Fagan said. He is not far removed from his playing days. A 2022 ALAH graduate, Fagan was part of helping turn the Knights into consistent winners again. ALAH made the playoffs in 6 straight seasons under Jefferson, who became the Knights coach in 2018. "The kids that are seniors now were freshmen. I knew a few of them," Fagan said. "It's cool to see them playing well and having success." During his playing days at ALAH, the second round of the playoffs was as far as the team advanced. What is Fagan's advice for the current players going into Saturday's state semifinal game? "Maroa is a talented team. You've just got to get in there and have confidence," Fagan said. "One play at a time. You can't be looking to the next quarter or the future." Has Fagan been scouting Maroa Forsyth? "We've got a kid on the team from Maroa, too," Fagan said, in reference to freshman tight end Grant Smith. "He was talking to me a little about it." strong ties. The Knights are still coached by Jefferson, who helped Fagan develop into a high-level college recruit. When Fagan played for Jefferson, running back wasn't his only spot. He worked at quarterback on offense and at free safety on defense. It's definitely helped in college, Fagan said. You kind of get a feel. It's definitely not the same level, but just having that experience at different positions has helped me. His time as a high school quarterback might lead you to believe an option pass is in Fagan's future. Illinois offensive coordinator Barry Looney Jr. seems to favor trick plays. If it's going to happen, you won't hear about it from the player. Mum is the word from Fagan. On a roll, Fagan leads Illinois with 477 rushing yards on 111 carries and 6 rushing touchdowns to go along with 13 catches for 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. He has helped the Illini earn a number 21 ranking in the latest college football playoff poll reveal and has been... and has helped Illinois achieve a second straight winning season. The run game has been especially effective at Illinois the past two games in wins against Rutgers and Maryland, and the Illini finished with 210 and 225 yards, respectively. The Maryland total was the most in a game by Illinois this season. He wanted to come out, be physical, and apply pressure, Fagan said. That was an emphasis on coming out. Like all smart running backs, Fagan is quick to credit the offensive line that blocks for him. They're doing great, Fagan said. I love all those guys. I feel like every week we're improving. The Illinois line and running backs will be tested at Wisconsin, which made changes in its lineup. This is a very physical Big Ten team, very talented up front, Fagan said. It's going to be a tough game. The season is flying by for Fagan, who has played in every game after missing a big chunk of 2024 because of a hip injury. It's crazy to think it's week 11 right now, Fagan said. It felt like it was week 1 a couple weeks ago. Fagan said he is preparing and playing the same way as always. No secret to staying healthy. Those injuries were just kind of freak things that happened, he said. The Daily Pitch, sports editor Matt Daniels with a look at what's going on around the area. Three reasons we love sports today. One, Central Illinois community is supporting each other even before an important high school football game. Take Arthur, Lovington, Atwood, Hammond, Maroa, and Forsyth, for example. Two, the ALAH football team will host Perennial Power Maroa Forsyth at 2 p.m. Saturday at Wilson Field in Arthur in a Class 2A state semifinal game. Three, a spot in the state championship game on November 28th at Hancock Stadium in Normal is on the line, but ALAH will collect donations before and during Saturday's semifinal game to help benefit Maroa Forsyth sophomore Matthew Clary on Saturday. Clary, who dresses up as the Trojans' mascot during games, is currently battling leukemia. Numbers game, 21, is the ranking the Illinois football team received on Tuesday night when the college football playoff rankings were revealed. The Illini were one of 6 Big Ten teams in the CFP top 25, with Ohio State at number 1, Indiana at number 2, Oregon at number 7, Southern Cal at number 15, and Michigan at number 18. It marked the 7th time the Illini have made the CFP rankings since they debuted in 2014. Crowd control, 3 events I'm paying attention to. 1, Wisconsin at Illinois football. The Illini have another chance at a quality defensive showing Saturday night, mainly because Wisconsin is averaging a Big Ten worst 246.8 yards this season. 2, Parkland versus Marion Ancila men's basketball. The Cobras are the new number 1 team in the latest NJCAA Division II poll that came out Monday and start their stay at SC4 tip-off in Port Huron, Michigan, with this game at 3 p.m. Thursday. 3, Illinois at UCLA volleyball. The Illini are 0-12 all-time against UCLA, including a loss in the 2011 national title match. Illinois aims to snap that skid at 9 p.m. Thursday in an important match against the Bruins. Ask an Athlete, Three Questions with Milford senior Aiden Frericks, who plays basketball and baseball for the Bearcats. Three athletes I'd like to have dinner with: Ben Zobrist, Mike Trout, and Ronald Acuna Jr. The TV show I most like to binge watch is Family Guy. My biggest pet peeve is when people chew with their mouth open. Building a resume. Boswell Wagler have some NBA draft buzz, playing high-level non-conference games big part of Illini scheduling philosophy. John Chepkovich has worked for Draft Express for 3 years and now serves as director of scouting. A major focus in Chepkovich's time with Draft Express, international prospects, which dovetails nicely with Illinois' pivot in that direction this season, with two Croatians, one Serbian, one Montenegrin, and a McDonald's All-American born in Greece to a Greek mother and a Serbian father. But its local product, Chekovich, sees as Illinois' best draft prospect in mid-November, 7 months out from the 2026 NBA draft. I think that people are kind of sleeping on Kylan Boswell a little bit as a draft prospect, as somebody who could sort of work their way into being a backup combo guard in the NBA, Chepkovich said Wednesday night at the United Center before number 8 Illinois faced number 11 Alabama. Maybe even one of those guys that gets looked at in the early second round, especially when they consider how young he is for his class. He's only 20. There are some freshmen in college basketball right now. He's similar in age to. That definitely works in his favor. Also working in Boswell's favor, the 6'2", 215-pound guard is shooting the ball better this season, in a small sample size, of course, than he did last year in his first season with the Illini. Progression to his Arizona mean is a positive. So, of course, is Boswell's defense. He brings that rugged toughness defensively and can really guard up the line and spot, Chepkovich said. For guys that are on the fringe of the NBA, being able to be a dog like that and add value to winning outside of just scoring or having the ball in your hands, he can score, but he can do other things as well. There's value in that. Boswell isn't the only Illinois guard. Chepkovich keeps it on potential draft pick next June. Keaton Wagler has some buzz. He might be more of a multi-year guy, but NBA teams tend to fall in love with these guys who are 6'6 wings with some versatility and some feel for the game, and maybe get ahead of schedule and pick that guy a year ahead. And maybe when they're ready, Chepkovich said. We've seen that with Will Riley in the past. Could that be Wagler's fate too? Potentially. Andres Stojojevic played more in his first three games this season than Underwood anticipated or planned on, giving the nearly 2 months the 6'7 guard missed leading into the season because of a knee injury. How much Stojakovic plays in the rest of the regular conversations with the Illinois coach Brad Underwood, both ahead of games and during them. Missing all of September and most of October, though, put Stojakovic in a place where he's not interested in being off the court any more than necessary. Especially after the game was taken from me for 2 months, it gave me so much perspective and outlook on how much it means to me, the junior said. Every minute I'm in the game is something I look forward to. What Underwood is looking forward to is more rebounding from Stojakovic and Boswell, and Wagler, actually. Everyone on the roster, even though Illinois entered its non-conference game against Alabama ranked third nationally in defensive rebounding percentage and 12th in offensive rebounding percentage. That's one of the challenges of not having Stojakovic and Brandon Lee and some of those guys, Underwood said. We emphasize it so much in practice and that they haven't been a part of it. Stojakovic has to rebound at a high level with his body and his athleticism. It's just creating the habits. Leading Illinois on the boards is freshman forward David Mirkovich, and not solely because of his 21 rebound performance against Colgate, although that did certainly help the 6'9 forward climb into the top 10 nationally in rebounding. We knew he was capable of such a thing, but we're not going to put the pressure and expectation on him to do it every night, Stojakovic said. what Coach is harping on, for everyone to crash the glass, for everyone to rebound. We understand it's going to be a different guy every night. I think everyone on the team is able to rebound at a high level, just making sure one of us is all we care about. As soon as one has it, we've got five guys on the court that can push the ball and run to create space. Wagler stands out as another freshman leading Illinois in an important Underwood statistical category with the most free throw attempts on the team. Boswell isn't far behind, and the Illini coach would like Stojakovic to be in the mix for that too, but Wagler is the early leader. By senior year of high school, I really adopted that, trying to get the free throw line, because that's easy points, Wagler said. People don't look at me as someone who is going to try to look for contact, but I play stronger than I look. That's a really good thing in my game. Underwood called Wagler crafty in his ability to get to the rim. A good change of pace also helps cover the ground to the basket, and Wagler's ability to finish effectively with either hand is a plus, too. When you stick your nose in there, a lot of good things happen, Underwood said. He's fearless, and he's got great, great patience in the paint. Io DeSumo had to send out a video last week calling for Illinois fans to show up Wednesday night at the United Center, since he wouldn't be around himself to lead the charge. The former Illini All-American guard was in Portland, Oregon with the Chicago Bulls, looking to extend the impressive start to his fifth season in the NBA. There's no doubt that young man loves the University of Illinois, Underwood said. He's back here all the time. Appreciate him taking the time to put out a video, even though he's going to be in Portland, Washington, playing. Wish he could be at the game, but my hat's off to Io. He's not only a great player, but a very, very good human being. There was never any doubt he was going to be a great pro because of how hard he worked. His impact on the Bulls, it's been fun to watch him grow. I'm so happy for him. Wednesday night's game in Chicago was Illinois' second of four this month against a team also ranked in the Associated Press Top 25, and the first of three on a semi-neutral site. The Illini will play number 3 Connecticut on November 28th in New York. The Huskies regularly fill Madison Square Garden, and then face number 20 Tennessee on December 6th in Nashville, Tennessee, less than 3 hours from the Vols campus. The Illinois-Alabama matchup was part of an impressive slate of games this week as a lead-in to Feast Week. Tuesday night featured four ranked teams in the Champions Classic. UConn and Arizona met in a top-five showdown just before the Illini and Crimson Tide tipped off in Storrs, Connecticut, that the visiting Wildcats won 71-67 against the Huskies, and Wisconsin and BYU meet Friday in Salt Lake City. It's the way every November should look if it were up to Underwood. I think it's great for college basketball, the Illinois coach said. Playing elite games is great for college basketball. We're part of that. I like it. I like to find out who we are and where we're at. They're going to help us as you progress throughout the season. My hat's off to everybody who does that. The upside of those high-level games is there's no downsides. A win is a serious resume booster. A loss is a negligible negative impact because of the quality of the opponent. They sure don't hurt you, Underwood said about the notable games on his team's November slate. You've got teams that are going to vie for national championships. They're all ranked and they're all really good. I think it's how you build a program and develop. It's been a big part of our philosophy here the last few years. Grades are in. Crimson Tide hold off Illini. Player of the game, Alabama forward Amari Allen. Crimson Tide coach Nate Oates went to the Allen off the bench early in Wednesday night's game at the United Center in Chicago. Oates clearly recognized he was going to need a little more size on the court, and the 6'8" freshman was his answer. Allen delivered. He might not have been Alabama's leading scorer, but he helped keep the rebounding battle close after the Crimson Tide got rocked on the boards against Purdue and stuffed the stat sheet with 9 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists. Backcourt, Illinois B-, Alabama A. The Crimson Tide's strength all season has been their guards. They weren't super efficient, but they didn't disappoint. LeBaron Phillim put up a team-high 24 points, Aiden Holloway chipped in 11, and Houston Mellat added 10 points, coming off the bench for the first time this season. Andrej Zajojevic had a big second half for Illinois, but couldn't get the Illini over the top. Front court, Illinois C+, Alabama A. Not even another double-double from David Mirkovich, his fourth in 5 games, could pull Illinois out of the hole it created offensively, because those 10 points and 10 rebounds were about it for the Illini front court. Ben Hunrakal shot just 3 of 9 from the field. Zvonimir Ivicic was mostly a non-factor, and it was clear Tomislav Ivicic had missed the last 3 games. Bench, Illinois B-, Alabama A. The cleanest availability report all season didn't mean that the Illini were at full strength Wednesday night. While Tomislav Ivicic's knee returned to action and Mihailo Petrovic's hamstring made his debut, Illinois didn't get the level of production off the bench one might assume, with Ivicic clearly out of rhythm and Petrovic still trying to find his fit with this team. Overall, Illinois B-, Alabama A. The good? Stojovic and Kylan Boswell can keep Illinois in games against high-level teams even when the rest of the team is struggling. The bad? It's clearly going to take more than that duo for Illinois to win big games. That support was missing against Alabama, which turned in a much more balanced performance from its at least equally as deep team. City of Champaign Township. Applications open for supervisor position. The City of Champaign Township Board, comprised of the same people as the Champaign City Council, voted Tuesday to accept the resignation of Township Supervisor Kyle Patterson and the process drafted by City Attorney Thomas Yu for filling the resulting vacancy, albeit with a couple tweaks, including the addition of an application question that asks candidates to give us your thoughts on the Strides shelter. I want to be transparent that the shelter to me is a primary concern with respect to anybody who's applying, said Mayor Deb Finan, who also serves as a township board member. Additionally, while interviews will take place during an open session, the board has decided to conduct them in sit-down format with candidates fielding questions one at a time. Finan made the recommendation, stating that she'd like to see more give and take than the 5-minute presentations made by candidates in early 2024, the last time a new supervisor was sought. However, candidates will have the opportunity to make opening statements before starting their interviews, a suggestion from Township Board member Bob Paulette. Gil Terryberry, who previously applied for the position in 2024 and recently retired from working at Strides, said he would support having Charlene Murray, the shelter's interim executive director, as the new township supervisor. I know her and I know what she knows about the shelter, and she impresses the hell out of me, he said during the time for public comment. If not, I might be back in front of you again myself. Information about the vacancy, along with an application form, can be found at cctownship.com. Applications must be received before 5 p.m. December 16th. This can be done by either emailing them to cityclerk@champaignil.gov with the subject line Application for Township Supervisor, or physically deliver an application to the City Building at 102 North Neal Street. You said that depending on the number of qualified candidates, the board may have to hold interviews not only at its regular meeting on January 6th, but also the following night as well. I propose that no later than the following Tuesday, January 13th, we nominate and appoint the township supervisor because, again, the deadline is the 17th, so we're cutting it close, he said. This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 2 for Thursday, November 20th, 2025. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.